Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, part 6, to name a few. And you're listening to the Bean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not trying to stop a war between Wakanda and a race of undersea people that's definitely not Atlantis, I'm at the Grizzly Cave, reading comics, watching movies, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And on today's episode, I'm going to be giving my review of Black Panther Wakanda Forever, the final movie in Phase 4. And I had an opportunity to release this episode Friday night since I watched the film on Thursday night, but I wanted to take a little more time to think on it. So I'll be giving my spoiler-free review at the beginning, going over spoilers after that, and then I'll be giving my final verdict at the end. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone to please like and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. That way, you'll never miss an episode. Also, follow the show on all social media platforms so you can get updates on upcoming episodes, geek news, discussions, cool videos, and interact with yours truly. So follow me on Instagram and TikTok at the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast, at Mean Joe Grizz Pod on Twitter, like the official Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast Facebook page, and last but certainly not least, join my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group, the Mean Joe Grizzly Mean Militia. I look forward to interacting with y'all and talking about all forms of badassery. So let's get started. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. So I'm going to try to make this spoiler-free portion short and sweet, starting off with the positives. Ryan Coogler did a fantastic job of not only delivering a touching and emotional send-off slash farewell to Chadwick Boseman, but he also did a fantastic job of delivering a movie whose central character has passed and he still finds a way to carry it on. And this was an insurmountable task. Like, legit, this movie was dead on arrival, and he found a way to keep it going. That deserves a lot, if not all, the praise. He also visually makes a quite impressive film. It's one of the more visually conscious movies in this entire franchise. From the new views that we get to see from Wakanda to the new undersea city of Talokan to the views that you get during fight scenes, the guy just has an eye for the shot. Like, the guy knows how to get the perfect angle for the perfect shot. And that's been the case for all of his movies, including the first Black Panther film. The guy just knows what he's doing with a camera. He also does a great job of drafting a great story that's giving our characters a clear motivation and scenarios that avoid most of the conflicting narratives without being too predictable or cookie cutter in its own narrative. He does a good job of making a good story, and I'll get more into that in the spoiler sections of this review. But the performances by the cast, they're all phenomenal. Like, there isn't a bad performance in this entire film. Some are weaker than others, but all are great, especially Angela Bassett as Queen Ramonda. My God, what a performance. You feel her every emotion, and it generally hits you right in the feels. Like, so many emotional moments, and almost all of them involve her. I will go as far as to say that she deserves an Oscar nod. Like, it's that damn good. Like, if you watch her performance and you don't feel something, you ain't got a pulse, man. It's just a fact. The way that they introduced Riri Williams and the way they handled her character was done very well. Her role in the film fits well, and it serves like as a good pathway into her Disney Plus show coming next year. Riri Williams is a character that nobody really cares about, honestly, if I'm being honest. She was someone that came out of all new, all different Marvel, and she was a very polarizing character. And I wouldn't even say she's a polarizing character. She was just nobody cared about her, because Marvel was doing this. They were doing this thing that didn't work for the most part. It worked for a few titles, but overall, it was a failure. A lot of people want to say that it wasn't a failure, but it was. It was very, 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 very poorly received from fans, and their sales did go down because of it. And when you got Disney money, it doesn't matter if your sales go down. But they were doing this real inorganic style of storytelling, and they were pushing, or writers were pushing their own agendas on the readers, and it just wasn't good. Now, with that being said, a lot of good things came out of All New, All Different Marvel, and Riri Williams isn't necessarily one of those bad things that came out of it. And she's just a character that's there, and they did a great job of bringing that character in and making her relevant to the movie. And just really, they did a good job of utilizing her character to push the movie forward. Without like making her eclipse the entire message and stuff that they were going for, I think that they did a great job of introducing her. Namor and his undersea people and their kingdom of Tulokan, man, it's awesome. I wasn't on board with the changes they announced to his origin that separates him from Atlantis, but after seeing the finished product, it completely works for the MCU, and it makes this incredibly unique. And they completely nail the character of Namor with his arrogance, his rage, his affinity for his people and kingdom, his dickish nature, his hate for the surface world, his strength and power, everything. They nailed this character. His warriors, including Namorina and Atuma, were actually done well. They were creepy, intimidating, and at times terrifying. Every time they were on the screen, the tensions were high. Like, you know something bad is going to happen, is shit's going to pop off, and people are going to die. Coogler did a great job of just showing how much more physically superior the people of the undersea kingdom of Tulokan are compared to surface dwellers. And that is something that I'm going to talk more about in the spoiler section, because it kind of goes into one of my gripes, and it kind of doesn't. But speaking of physically superior, the fight scenes and the visual effects are great. The final battle in particular is brutal, and it's performed in a way that just feels so personal and genuine and authentic, like they're really fighting. The choreography is pretty impressive, and the visual effects with that to me, that was one of the weak points of the first Black Panther movie, is some of the CGI looked really bad. I think the CGI looks amazing in this movie. There are some parts, but they're so minor it's not even worth talking about them. I think that overall the effects and the choreography for the fights and stuff was just fantastic. But just like most movies, very few are perfect. So what are the negatives? Well, gonna be honest, there aren't very many. The main gripe I have is the movie's too long. They could have trimmed a good 20-30 minutes out of this movie, and it would have done just fine. And to me, there's not enough battle in the movie. Like, there's not enough fighting in the movie. I wanted a little more battles and a little more personal battles. Like, there were certain characters I wanted to see face off for a longer period of time, and some of the fights to take place a little bit longer than what they were. I feel like and I understand why they did it. I feel like they sacrificed some of the fight scenes and the action for the emotional narrative that they kept building throughout the film. And that's fine. I understand it completely. I wanted a little bit more action, a little bit more personal fights. I wanted some of that going. There was a couple of characters that didn't face off that I was kind of very disappointed with. I really wanted to see certain characters fight each other. But nevertheless, it's a very small gripe. And there are times, and I'll elaborate more on all this in the spoiler section, but there are times where you have to suspend disbelief when certain things take place in the story, even by the rules of this world, of the MCU. There's just certain things that happen, and it's like, there's no way this should happen. And I'll get more into that in the spoiler section. And even though the performances in the film are all solid, and there are some that get very weak at times, and when you understand the characters in the comics and their counterparts counterparts to the films, and understand that those characters are sometimes starkly different in the MCU, and that's fine. But sometimes it's kind of jarring to see a character be a little different. And one particular character wasn't necessarily not doing the character justice, but something just felt off. And I really can't put my finger on it. I'm going to try to in the spoiler section, but there's something just didn't feel right. But that's it for the negatives. And I'm going to give my rating at the end of the episode as always, but from here on out, we're going to be talking about spoilers. So if you haven't seen Black Panther Wakanda Forever, go see it and then come back and listen to this episode. So on the spoilers, you have been warned. So to start off, the opening credits with the Marvel Studios logo, instead of it being like a compilation of different Marvel characters and scenes from the movies, it was all devoted to T'Challa, and it was awesome. It was so good. It even lit up purple at the end, and I thought that was so freaking cool. Going into the opening scene, they give us the death and the wake of T'Challa, and the way that they did it, it didn't feel hand wavy. It felt like he dies off screen, obviously, and I'm glad they did that. I'm glad they didn't make it tasteful, but they made it tasteful instead of it being tasteless and having like a CG version of him get killed or something like that. They kind of mirrored the real life death of Chadwick Boseman. They had him die from a disease, and Shuri is desperately, because Shuri's a genius, and she's desperately trying, her and her team, they're in the lab, the lab in Wakanda that they always show. They're desperately trying to find a cure or some kind of treatment for T'Challa, and the whole time that this is going on, that they're scrambling around like chickens with their heads cut off, they're just running around frantically trying to find something to help him. The whole time the AI is shouting out all of T'Challa's vitals, and it's like a countdown's going on, like he's just fading. And eventually Shuri just tells everyone to get out, and she starts messing with this like DNA matrix simulator, and she believes that the flower that the Black Panthers consume to become Black Panthers for their test, she believes that that could have cured T'Challa of his disease. But as you all know, in the first Black Panther movie, Eric Killmonger destroyed all of those flowers. So there was no flowers left. So she was trying to synthesize a substitute. And unfortunately, the moment that she gets a sample that's like 30% compatible, the queen comes out, Queen Ramonda comes out and tells her that he's gone. And then they have the funeral, and there's this, and that's all very emotional and so well done. And I actually felt like that is as dumb as it sounds, from coming from me, someone who did not know Chadwick Boseman personally, it almost felt like we were sitting in at his actual funeral, and it just felt so personal and so, it was so emotional. It was great. They did Ryan Coogler did that so well, and you could tell that he really loved Chadwick Boseman, and then all the cast loved him. You can tell that everyone cared deeply about him, and they poured it all in their performances. Moving on, there's a scene where Queen Ramonda goes before the United Nations. I believe it's United Nations. And all of the world's kind of pissed that Wakanda won't share their vibranium. And she pretty much tells them, we're not sharing anything with y'all, because we have to protect ourselves from y'all if y'all were to use this to create weapons of mass destruction and stuff like that. So they weren't going to be trading vibranium with them. And the whole time that this exchange is going on in this big UN meeting, there's a whole other scene taking place where a strike team goes to one of Wakanda's like vibranium refineries that's like kind of offshore of Wakanda, or either in a lake or something another near Wakanda, and they come in to take it's the French, I believe, the French, I'm gonna say it's the French. They come in, they send a strike team in to take over this refinery to take the vibranium supply, and they have everybody held up hostage, and the Dora Milaje show up. Now, if you remember who the Dora Milaje are, they're like the Black Panther or the king or queen's personal guard. Like they're pretty much like the SEALs or the special forces of Wakanda. And they show up and led by Okoye, and they just dismantle this strike team. They don't kill any of them, but they just dismantle them, and they take them in before the UN and says, here's your team. That's the only warning you get, and blah, blah, blah. Pretty much making a statement, don't fuck with Wakanda. And it's pretty awesome. So long story short, after that incident happens and Wakanda makes their statement that they're not fucking around and you're not going to take our vibranium, you find out that the U.S. government had a vessel off the shore of somewhere or another. I'm going to say off the shore of South America somewhere. And they had a vibranium tracker where they can, they somehow had a device that can track and trace vibranium. And in the midst of sailing around looking for vibranium, they were attacked by these undersea people, and that is when Namor makes his appearance, and I'm pretty sure they kill everybody on this boat. And when Namor reveals himself, he ends up getting a message to Wakanda saying, you exposing yourselves, see, because, okay, so at the end of Black Panther, T'Challa let the world know about their vibranium supply and why it's the source of their vast technology and their advanced civilization. It turns out that by T'Challa doing that, it kind of put everybody out there to search for it. So that in turn brings them into conflict with Namor, because Namor's kingdom has vibranium, and because of their actions, it's pretty much put his people in danger. And Namor gives Wakanda ultimatum: find out who built the vibranium tracker and bring them to me, or I'm going to attack Wakanda. So Shuri and Okoye end up going to Boston, to MIT, to find this person who made the vibranium tracker, and it turns out to be Riri Williams, who is just a 19-year-old kid at MIT who is this apparent genius. And long story short, they end up getting her to help them, and they go to her little warehouse, and she's built a piecemealed version of an Iron Man suit, essentially. And that's the core of her character. She reverse engineered one of Tony Stark's armors in the comics, and he was so damn impressed by it that he actually came to her and like offered her like a job and all kinds of stuff. It was pretty cool. So she pretty much reversed and engineered and made an Iron Man suit in the movie as well. And the FBI closes in on their warehouse because they're also looking for the Wakandans, because they think the Wakandans killed everybody on that ship. So they take off. It's this big cool chase scene, whatnot. And it seems like that they've gotten away. And Riri's flying around in her actual suit. And out of nowhere, a spear flies out of the river and hits her suit and pulls her down to the road, and in turn causes this big wreck and everything with Shuri and with Okoye as well. And then the police seem to have them where they want them. And when the police are closing in, out of nowhere, a freaking whale shows up, and these blue undersea dwellers show up. And Atuma and Namorina are the ones that are leading this team. And Atuma is humongous, and Namorina is about normal size, but they're both very intimidating. And they freaking kill the police. They just kill them and said no witnesses in their like native tongue. They kill the police, and then Okoye tries to hold them off, and she does very well. They have healing factors or something or another, apparently, because Okoye seems to strike down everyone but Namorina and Atuma, and those guys end up getting back up. So I don't know if they have healing factors or not, but it kind of seems that way. Then Okoye gets thrown off the bridge, and Atuma ends up taking Shuri and taking Riri Williams with him. So upon returning to Wakanda, Okoye approaches the queen, and Angela Bassett gives this amazing performance you've seen the scene in the trailer. It's the, have I not given enough? Like that scene. Oh man, that scene was great. And it's part of the scene where Okoye is pleading with Queen Miranda to redeem herself and to go rescue Shiri and Riri Williams. And that she said, no, I'm not going to send you. And she's like, I've given everything, Queen, can I please go and redeem myself? And she's like, no, and that's where, have I not given enough? And she strips Okoye of her title as leader of the Dora Milaje and as a Dora Milaje and casts her out. And this was something that didn't sit well with me. I didn't care for this part, and I understand that the queen was grieving, and she's essentially lost her entire family, and I understand that, but it didn't make sense to me to alienate Okoye, one of your best weapons and your main general of your armies. It just didn't make sense to do that, and it was just I don't know, it just didn't sit well with me. And in the aftermath of this, Queen Miranda actually goes to Haiti to get Nakia and asks Nakia if she would go into this, find Shiri and bring her back. And Nakia ends up finding out where the Undersea Kingdom is. She finds out a little bit about Namor and how the Undersea people came to be, and she eventually sneaks her way into the city of Tolokan. And when you see Tolokan, it is gorgeous. It is this sea that is, it's this undersea kingdom that would look like it looks like a Aztec or Spanish version of Atlantis. And that's the thing, this whole area is in the Yucatan Peninsula where the Aztecs were. So it's pretty, it was amazing making this origin and separating it from his origin in the comics. And I didn't appreciate it at first, but man, after seeing the final product, I really appreciated it. I was a big skeptic of it. I didn't like it. I felt it was unnecessary, and it works so well. And the thing is that when you finally get to look at his kingdom and he's talking to Shiri and showing Shiri all of this stuff, and their kingdom, the temples and stuff, they're made of some parts of them are made of vibranium. And one piece in particular is this big, like, vibranium orb or disc. I can't remember if it was an orb or a disc. But it literally captures sunlight and it lights the entire kingdom. And that's why they perceive Namor as their leader, and not just their leader, but their god, because he brought the sun to the darkest place, which is under the sea. So it was pretty cool to see them revamp his origin like that. And they revamped his look as well. And I'm fine with that. They got the wings on the feet, and that's something I thought they were going to thumb their nose at it. Like, man, that's too damn goofy. I can't do that. Or they would, honestly, I thought that they were going to make a big joke about it, and that was going to piss me off because I'm tired of jokey Marvel. I'm so exhausted with jokey Marvel. And when it turns out that they do it justice, it just made everything so sweeter. There's literally this scene where he descends from the top. All his people are around the throne, and the throne is made out of a big jaw of like a great white shark. He descends down with his headdress on. It's so freaking cool. They do such a damn good job. So Nakia ends up rescuing Shiri and Riri Williams, and they head back to Wakanda. And this is when things really start popping off. And Namor and his people make their move in Wakanda, and they flood Wakanda. They've got these weapons, and they're like water grenades. That's the best way I could put it. Like they throw these grenade, these water grenades, and when they explode, it's like thousands upon thousands of gallons of water hitting you at once with all this pressure. It's pretty, they're pretty cool and more effective than I thought. I thought they were just like, so they're throwing water balloons at them. Nah, they're like actual explosives that will do like this big time damage to you because there's so much pressure holding this water back in this little orb. And this is the part where I really wanted to talk about, because this is what I was talking about. You had to suspend belief even in this world. You have to. We're always been told that Wakanda can never be conquered because Wakanda is too technologically advanced. It's the most technologically advanced civilization on the planet, and it will never be conquered. And I can tell you right now that Namor could have conquered Wakanda 10 times over, several times in this movie. And I don't... The thing is that Namor's people, it's not like they have this super... At least they didn't show it off. They don't have like labs and these big time science divisions and this hyper advanced technology. They've got those weapons where like the water grenades I was talking about, and Namor has a spear that's made out of solid vibranium, but they're not like, they don't have a submarine that can take them from one end of the earth to the other in seconds. Like the Wakandans have a ship that can fly them from one end of the earth to the other in like minutes. They just don't have all of that. So it's really hard for me to believe, even though they are physically superior and they, one Atlantean could probably beat five Wakandans at the same time, like tough Wakandans at the same time in a fight. I just don't see them with their few. That's the other thing too. They're coming in these small groups and attacking. And I'm not talking about a small group as in like single digits. I'm talking about they're attacking in groups of hundreds versus Wakandans having like thousands. And the Atlanteans are coming in and they're wrecking shop. Like they're beating the Wakandans' ass. And it doesn't make sense to me. And Namor is unstoppable. They don't have an answer for Namor. And it doesn't really make sense to me because T'Challa, and not to compare T'Challa to any of the other characters, but T'Challa fought beings that were above Thanos. I mean, above Namor's level, like Thanos. Like, he took punches from Thanos. He took punches from members of the Black Order and stuff like that. It just didn't make sense to me that and that's the other thing. So Thanos's army could barely get through Wakandan's forces. Wakanda actually repelled them, but the Atlanteans just wreck ass on them. It just didn't make any sense logically. But it wasn't enough to make me like not like the movie or anything. So during this attack, Namor approaches Queen Ramonda and gives her one more chance to give up Riri Williams. And she refuses. So Namor essentially drowns both of them. And Riri is able to be resuscitated, and Queen Ramonda is not. So the queen dies. Angela Bassett's character dies. And it's just another death blow to Shuri. And in the midst of all this, when Shuri was in the Undersea Kingdom, she noticed that Namor had this strange... They had this strange flower that looked very similar to the flower that is used in the Black Panther in like induction ceremonies. So she took a sample of it. Well, she got to work in her lab after burying her mother, she got to work in the lab and sent, and found a way to essentially synthesize that flower to where there can be another Black Panther. She also builds a couple of like mech suits that Okoye and another member of the Dora Milaje end up using towards the end of the final battle in the film. And what ends up happening is that Shiri decides that she's going to eat the flower, since she is the rightful leader of the throne in Wakanda. She decides to eat the flower, and of course she falls into the sleep state that everybody that does this test goes through. And instead of being met with the ancestors of all that were Black Panther before her, she's met by Eric Killmonger. Now, I thought this was pretty cool. I'm not a big fan of Eric Killmonger. Everyone thought he was like the best villain in the MCU. I disagree. I think he's pretty bland, and I just didn't like him. I think he's very forgettable and very bland, and I know that people love him, but I'm not one of those people. Michael B. Jordan did a good job playing him, but he's just not my favorite. He's very forgettable to me. So he pretty much approaches her, and he is pushing her on the path of revenge, and it seemingly works. It appears to have worked, because once she awakens from her state where she was unconscious from eating the flower, she now has the abilities of Black Panther, and she puts on her new Black Panther suit, and she ends up meeting with the council of all the tribes. Now, M'Baku is the leader of Wakanda at this moment. After the events of Infinity War, M'Baku and his tribe, who were the Mountain Tribe, they decided to join the coalition of tribes in Wakanda. And he has now become the leader. And he said that we're not going to war with Namor and his people and Tulokan. And Shiri's like, why the hell not? You know, they killed my family, they attacked Wakanda, they killed the queen. They killed the queen and my mother. And he said, you got to understand, and he made a lot of sense. This man, keep calling him the fish man. He said that they look at the fish man as their god. And if you kill the fish man, that will start a war that will never end. It will go on for generations and generations and generations, and no one wants to fight a war for generations and generations, because essentially you killed their god, their deity. And it makes sense, but Shiri's like, hell with that, I still want to kill him. So people start, they side with Shiri, and so does M'Baku. He reluctantly goes forward with it. So they devise this plan to isolate Namor in the fight. They decided to launch a counterstrike. So they actually have like a sea vessel. I think they called it the Sea Leopard. I'm not sure. I think that's what it's called, the Sea Leopard. So they have this ship, and they have all these troops on the ship, which doesn't look like very many. I can't tell if in the first initial attack that they just decimated Wakanda's forces down to nothing, and this was all that was left, or if this was just a strike team that they put together. But nevertheless, Shuri devised a plan to isolate Namor, get him on one of their ships, and then put him in essentially like a microwave, like a room that was set up with microwaves, to dry him out, to separate him from water and weaken him, and then they could defeat him. And they essentially succeed in separating him. Now, this fight's crazy. They hit him with sonics under the water. So Namorina's down at the bottom trying to knock out this sonic blasting, like essentially the speaker. and they descend on this ship, and you see the scene where the Dora Milaje have ropes tied to them and they jump over the edge to fight on the walls of the ship. It's pretty damn epic. The mech suit and the two mech suits that Okoye and the other member of the Dora Milaje are piloting around, they're pretty cool too. Riri Williams has her own mech suit, which the suit's okay. It looks kind of goofy and Power Ranger like, but she's going around shooting people up. It's pretty cool. And this is where the disappointment comes in for me. So I wanted, and again, none of these disappointments I have were enough for me to not enjoy this movie. It's just something I would have rather have seen. I would have loved to have seen M'Baku fight against Atuma, and it didn't happen. And I don't even think they ever met each other in the fight the whole time. It was so disappointing. I really wanted to see those two fight because they're pretty much the same damn character, and that's what's freaking cool. M'Baku being a warlord slash other, like, another faction in his kingdom trying to always take the throne, and Atuma in the comics was just like that. He led a whole different faction. He was a warlord, and he always tried to take the throne from Namor too. So it would have been really cool just to see those two fight, and it didn't happen. Him and Okoye ended up fighting, which I thought Okoye should have fought Namorina, and that would have been cool too. But nevertheless, Okoye got her revenge for getting punked earlier in the movie. But I just wanted to see more of those kind of personal matchups. Now, on to the final battle against Namor. It's Namor and Shuri in her full Black Panther form. And they end up, Namor realizes what's going on because he's getting weaker. So he starts tearing into the machine. And Shuri tells the AI on the ship to get them to a desert. So before Namor can destroy the ship, they're on the beach of a desert, just like desert beach, and they crash land, and the two start fighting, and it is brutal. It actually reminds me a lot of the blood feud between T'Challa and Namor in the comics. So I felt like they did a good job of transitioning this to Shuri and embodying that feud and that blood feud that they had. The fight's just, it's brutal. And eventually the fight dwindles down to nothing. They both injure each other greatly. Shuri ends up getting the last laugh. She turns on the afterburners on the ship, pretty much cooking Namor. And Namor cannot get to the ocean to replenish himself. And she stands over him and gives him an ultimatum, tells him that they don't want to fight, they want to have peace and blah, blah. And she makes him yield. Prior to this, I almost forgot. Prior to this, there was a scene where they were both fighting. She's like, this is it. This is the last chance. We're not going to, are we really going to kill each other? I don't want to do this, blah, blah. But if you force me, I'm going to. And Namor, she told Namor, she's like, you need to stop. And Namor says, Imperius Rex, which is his like saying that he says in the comics all the time. It's like his battle cry. And she's like, Wakanda forever. And they both start fighting. And eventually it leads to this moment to where she forces Namor to yield, and she lets him live. So instead of taking Killmonger's route, she takes the route that her brother and the other Black Panthers before him would have taken, and she spares Namor's life, causing like a peace treaty and all that between Wakanda and Atlantis for now. Because Namorina asked him why he yielded, and he eventually revealed to her that because they're going to be tools for us to use in the future when we go to war with the surface world. So Namor still has nefarious ideas. And that's the thing about Namor. Like I said in my last episode, which y'all need to go check that episode out if y'all want to know more about his comic roots and origins. Namor's a dick. He only sides with whoever is going to benefit him, and he hates the surface world for no reason. So he's just a dick, and they did a good job of embodying that in this movie. So the movie closes out, everything starts falling back into place. The Riri Williams is dropped back off in Boston and given a new car and all kinds of stuff, and the tribal council got together for an induction ceremony where, just like in the last Black Panther movie, if someone wants to challenge the throne, they can. And Shuri elects not to challenge the throne, and M'Baku maintains his position. Shuri heads to Haiti to hang out with Nakia, and Nakia introduces Shuri to her son and T'Challa's son. And he reveals himself. His Wakanda name is T'Challa, heir to the throne of Wakanda. Turns out Nakia kept him there in Haiti because she didn't want him to have to live a life of pressure to take the throne. So she wanted him to do that on his own terms. It's just this real touching moment. And Shuri burns her funeral robe or garb, which means that she's now allowed to grieve. And very emotional, very, very emotional ending, very satisfying ending. I know a lot of people didn't like the ending, but I felt like the ending was pretty good. It wrapped up everything nicely, and we do not get any second end credit scene. This is it. And I think that's fine. The movie actually feels kind of isolated a little bit from the rest of what's going on in Phase 4. The only thing that kind of ties anything to Phase 4 is there are some scenes where Contessa Valentina de Fontaine shows up. And, of course, we already know what she's up to. So, I'm going to address more of that in an episode that I'm thinking about doing. So, we did an episode a while back called State of the MCU, Part 1. I think it's time to do the part 2 of that episode. So that might be coming up soon. But what's the verdict? Ryan Coogler and company not only honors the memory of Chadwick Boseman, but manages to respectfully carry on without him. The cast and the performances are top notch, especially Angela Bassett as Queen Ramonda, who honestly deserves an Oscar nod. Namor's introduction into the MCU is incredible, and I can't wait to see what happens with him next. And although it has a little long of a runtime, and there are some moments of disbelief, Black Panther Wakanda Forever manages to restore faith in the MCU and close out Phase 4 as one of the best. With all that being said, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, gets a 4 out of 5 and is Grizzly grade guaranteed. Go see it. It's amazing. And with that, we're going to bring this episode to an end. Thank you all so much for y'all's continued support and patience. Without y'all, the show is not possible. I want to give a shout out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. His music is amazing and is what I use as my background music throughout each episode, as well as the music that I use for my intro and outro tracks. So check out his music at White Bat Audio on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and also follow the show on all social media platforms. And more importantly, join my Meme Militia by joining the official Facebook group, the Mean Joe Grizzly Meme Militia. Don't really know what we're going to do next. There are some movies coming out that I'm probably going to review. I know that I am planning on doing a State of the MCU Part 2. When we brought out the first one, that was probably about a third of the way through Phase 4. And now that Phase 4 is done, I think it's only appropriate that I actually do another episode of that. Kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do next in the MCU. And I know that some of the stuff's been mapped out already, but I think that it'll be a good episode to recap everything that's going on since we've had so much stuff happen. So I'll get that out to you as soon as I can. I think the only MCU thing that's left to look forward to this year before we get Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania in early next year is, I think it's the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. I'm not sure, but I think that's it. But we'll get to all that. But remember, until next time, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.